from Jakarta. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, in English program. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast via shortwave on 95 to 5 kHz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.
Hey listener, welcome back to our English program over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we will bring you first our news, followed by news from across Indonesia. Today in history, My Indonesia, news in brief. We continue Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, and to conclude our program for today, we present you Music Corner. That was our program summary for today over at RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. Papua can obtain 10% of pre-port share after divestment. Navy Chief Ade Supandi said Third Fleet is a must. Now the news in detail. The Provincial Government of Papua and Mimika Regency Government obtained 10% share of the 51% divestment of PT Freeport Indonesia transferred to the Indonesian government. This was marked by the signing of agreement by Finance Minister Sri Mulyani, Energy Minister Resources Ignatius Jonan, Papuan Governor Lukas Nambe, Mimika Regent Altinus Omalind, and President Director of PT Inalun Budi Gunadi Sadikin at the office of the Minister of Finance in Jakarta on Friday. In her remarks, Minister Sri Mulyani said that the agreement is a strategic step and significant advance in the divestment of Freeport shares. The provincial government of Papua and Mimika Regency will jointly own the rights to 10% share of PT Freeport Indonesia after divestment. Minister Sri Mulyani further pointed out that the 10% includes to fulfill customary rights or customary territories of the communities affected by the Freeport's exploration. Freeport's ownership by Indonesia is expected to increase their revenues, accelerate the downstream mining industry, increase employment opportunities, and encourage regional government. In addition, it provides benefits for the Papuan community, especially those affected by PT Freeport Indonesia permanent business. Minister Sri Mulyani also asserted that in the taking of share by local government, it will not use the state budget. Indonesian Navy Chief of Staff Admiral Ade Supandi said in Jakarta on Friday that the formation of a third fleet in the central region is a must to preserve the sovereignty and unity of the entire state of Republic of Indonesia. He also affirmed that the Navy headquarters continues to push for the establishment of the third fleet to be realized because with the area of 3.2 million square kilometers of sea, Indonesia is too big to keep two fleets. The Armada West Jakarta or Armabar and Eastern Fleet Armatin in Surabaya. Navy Chief Ade Supandi claimed to have proposed the formation of the third fleet in the central region, but this concerns the financial ability. The government of Indonesia has not been able to confirm the existence of Indonesian citizen who is the third official of the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria, ISIS Bahru Naim. Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi in the sidelines of her visit at Pondok Pesantren Al Muayyad in Surakarta, Central Java on Friday said that Indonesia has not been able to confirm whether or not the news of Bahru Naim's death had been preached by the mass media. She admitted that information related to the death of Bahru Naim was not the first time. The policy views that the confirmation to Peru's party should continue to be done by the Minister of Foreign Affairs. On the PC, Minister Retno Marsudi gave explanation to Al Muayyad Surakarta Pesantren community about the Indonesian government's efforts to solve the conflict in the Middle East region. Since 2017, Indonesia has brought a diplomatic mission related to Palestinian independence and Afghan peace in all international forums. The government of Indonesia, under the leadership of President Joko Widodo, has launched an orientation economic development through infrastructure development that takes a long time. towards the implementation of the election in conjunction in 2018, it is expected that infrastructure development can be completed so that domestic condition can be more stable. This was compared by Economic Observer from the University of Indonesia, which also served as a program director of Institute for Development of Economics and Finance in depth, Berli Martawardaya, in a special interview with Aerial Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta more recently.
We see that the government are having long-term orientation by focusing on the infrastructure. Yeah, so infrastructure takes more than 1 year, 2 or even 3 years to build the complicated one. So this way we see pretty much stable in the last 2 years. So we hope some of the infrastructure is already finished this year.
Berli also expect that with the completion of infrastructure development, foreign investors will be interested to come to Indonesia and invest their capital before the political year or the chain of regime in 2019. International Relations Observer of University of Indonesia, Baginda Papahan, hoped in Jakarta on Friday that Indonesia can balance foreign policy measures amid the challenges of international uncertainty that are currently engulfing the world. He said that the uncertainty in international relations is expected to be happening in some countries in western part of the world. This is indicated by the widespread conflicts that occur both in internal state and within a region. To anticipate the existing phenomenon, Baginda said, Indonesia, by relying on active free foreign policy, will be able to play a major role in the regional and global arena in order to safeguard the national interest.
Harus seimbang dalam melihat dan juga strategis dalam memilih kebijakan.
So it should be balanced and also strategy in choosing policy. And I see active and free foreign policy can still be used. For example, when multilateralism relations are in challenge, we can try to do bilateralism. We can try to do limited pluralism, which can roughly support the economic and political interests of Indonesia, and can also maintain the stability, peace and security at regional and global levels, because it is mentioned in our constitution. Early in annual press statement, Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister Retno Marsudi said that 2018 world situation would still be filled with various challenges and uncertainties. She said political and security and stability at global level remains the biggest risk factor in 2018. Facing such challenges, the minister said that Indonesia would prioritize partnerships to respect international law by continuing to develop multilateralism. In addition, she also remarked that Indonesia will also build partnership to strengthen regional and global cooperation. An international relations observer of University of Indonesia, Baginda Papahan, in Jakarta Friday encouraged ASEAN member states to maintain centrality in facing challenges within the region. After celebrating its 50-year anniversary, according to him, ASEAN is still facing challenges, namely the current financial issue and South China Sea dispute, including global terrorism in Southeast Asia. In addition to maintaining centrality in ASEAN, Baginda also encouraged ASEAN member states to be able to develop their regional cooperation scale in Indo-Pacific and Asia-Pacific. Thus, they have to maintain peace and stability both regionally and internationally.
ASEAN harus berupaya menjaga persatuan dan juga
ASEAN should strive to maintain unity as well as to maintain the centrality of ASEAN in response to this. That's the best. This means that if ASEAN is united and ASEAN has a centrality in the formation of regional architecture, it will help ASEAN and other countries in maintaining peace and stability and prosperity in the region of Southeast Asia and East Asia. And this affects the global course. Secondly, we hope ASEAN cooperation can open also cooperation to Indo-Pacific cycle that assists, for example, Indian Ocean because there is IORA there, and also to Asia-Pacific because there is effort there. This can help to maintain peace of stability as well as regional security and hope also at the global level. Furthermore, to enhance the role of ASEAN member states, both at regional and global level, Baginda Papahan said that ASEAN member countries should be able to improve coordination in choosing strategy issues, including in responding to the existing challenges. This support can be done to build a common leadership in ASEAN, including eliminating the emergence of republic-built countries that intend to gain influence in ASEAN. The last item, to control the price of rice, Minister of Trade has conducted market operation in some regions prone to price hikes since November 2017. Minister of Trade Enggar Tiasto Lukita said that the price hike is caused with the scarcity of medium rice that also leads to price hike. the media gathering held on Friday, January 12, Minister Enger explained that market operations were not able to reduce the price of rice caused by lack of supply. To the end, the Minister of Trade also agrees with the Association of Indonesian Retailers, APRINDO, and rice distributors to sell premium rice at the highest retail price. Another turn by the government is to import rice. This choice is taken because high price increases inflation rate and the rice contributes high to the inflation.
Import bukan sesuatu yang tabu.
Import is not something taboo, and basically in trading there is import and there is export. So this is a contemporary solution until the price is stable and harvest time comes. Minister Enger further explained that title imported rice is not grown in Indonesia or special rice and will enter the market as a medium rice. The amount of rice to be imported is 500,000 tons and comes from Thailand and Vietnam. The import rice will enter Indonesia before the harvest, and the harvest outcome shall be purchased by bullet with set price. That's news over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Listener, welcome back to our weekly segment of news from across the country. The segment presents interesting information from various regions in a week. The first story comes from Yogyakarta. Yogyakarta Governor Sri Sultan Hamengkubuwono X on Wednesday inaugurated the road connecting Gunung Kidul with Sleman Regency. The connecting road includes Sembada Handayani Bridge with 90 meters long and 9 meters wide, 1 kilometer road from Sleman in Lemah Abang Village to Prambanan, and 3 kilometer road in Gunung Kidul precisely in Gembiong Village. Governor Sultan said that the provincial government of Yogyakarta plans to continue the construction of connecting roads from Prambanan to Gading. Gunung Kidul region Badinga said that the increasing tourist arrival can improve the economy of local people of Gunung Kidul. However, so far, the tourism visit is constrained by narrow roads and frequent traffic jams over the weekend. Meanwhile, Sleman Regent Sri Purnomo claimed that the construction of the bridge and roads can increase tourist visit to the tourism objects in Gunung Kidul, such as Tebing Breksi or Breksi Cliff, Ijo Temple, and Lava Bantal. Next story comes from Trenggalek. Creative promotions will attract the attention of many people. This activity is conducted by the regional government of Trenggalek to introduce the process of easier and faster business licensing. The government built the Gallery of Small and Medium Enterprises on the ground floor of Trenggalek One-Stop Service Investment Office. The gallery is a strategic effort to introduce the faster license process to the people. This was said by the head office of One-Stop Service Investment of Trenggalek Regency, Mulya Handaka, recently. Various small-medium enterprises products are exhibited in the gallery, starting from the typical food of Trenggalek to various processed and packed foods in interesting packages. The last story comes from Batang, Central Java. The government of Batang Regency, Central Java grants a 9.5 hectares of land to Diponegoro University Semarang for the establishment of Agriculture and Livestock Faculty. Batang Regent Wi Haji in Batang on Wednesday said that the regional government has held a meeting with Diponegoro University as a form of initial communication before granting the 9.5 hectares of land in Tumbrep Village, Bandar Sub-District. Wi Haji said, based on the law, the grant process must get approval from the Regional House of Representatives. Meanwhile, Chairman of the Batang Regional Legislative Council, Imam Teguh Raharjo, promised that the Regional House of Representatives will prioritize the grant for the development of the faculty's education process. Listener, that was the news from across the country.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello listeners, nice to be with you again in our regular program Today in History over Aerial Service Voice of Indonesia. Well, we start for an event on January 13, 1941, when Assembly of European Allied Country was held. On January 13, 1941, Allied Countries of World War II were in session in London. The session initiated by Prime Minister of United Kingdom, Winston Churchill, was held to unite the policy of Allied Countries in facing Germany and Italy. Attending the meeting, delegations are from the Netherlands, Belgium, France, Greece, Norway, Luxembourg, Denmark, and the host United Kingdom. The next event was in 1942 when Henry Ford patented plastic car. Henry Ford is a founder of a Ford Motor Company and was considered as a creator of middle class in American community. The first plastic car was launched by Henry Ford in Dearborn. The car was one of his dreams for designed to use agriculture fund as a raw material. The car was made from plastic with the main raw material from soybean and thinner until 33%, then from material of carbon car. Plastic was new material at that time and was a result of industrial revolution in the United States. A chemist, Robert Allen Boyer, tried to develop the idea. And the last event was in 1985 when accident of train occurred. A train which carried out around 500 passengers crashed cliff in Ethiopia. The incident happened because wheels of the train, which caused 5 carriages, dropped from the rail. The accident happened due to the brake failure, so that the train hit the cliff and fell into the gap. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Indonesia in economy, international politics, sports, environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
This is our remote service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with a regular segment, My Indonesia. Today's edition is on Indonesian furniture industry participation in IMM exhibition Cologne 2018. 10 Indonesian national furniture industries are participating in Europe's biggest furniture exhibition, Internationale Mobile Messe or IMM Cologne 2018. The Secretary General of the Indonesian Furniture and Craft Industry Association or HIMKI, Abdul Sobur, said in Jakarta last Wednesday that it is an effort to boost furniture exports, targeted to reach $5 billion until the end of 2019. The exhibition, to be held from 15 to 21st January 2018 in Cologne, Germany, followed by more than 1,300 participants from 51 countries. Abdul Sabur acknowledged the attraction of IMM Cologne. Furniture entrepreneurs from Indonesia have participated in this exhibition from 2011-2016 under the auspices of the Indonesian Furniture and Handicraft Association or AMCRI, and in 2017 under the auspices of HIMKI. In addition to promoting national furniture products in the global market, HIMKI also wants to find potential buyers who would make orders whether in a year, 2 years ahead or long term. Abdul Sabur said they wanted to build a business network on an international level. From the exhibition, Himki is targeting a $200 million revenue generated by on-site transactions and follow-up of year-long orders for the European market. Furniture entrepreneurs incorporated in the Indonesian Furniture and Handicraft Association are optimistic to achieve the $5 billion target of furniture and handicraft exports until the end of 2019. Himki Secretary General Abdul Sobu said the basis of their optimism is the continued deregulation and support from the government. Among others, 25% tool purchase subsidy for furniture and handicraft industry this year, although the amount of its value has not been announced. According to Sobor, the subsidy will boost the rejuvenation of the machine so that the production process of furniture and handicraft can be more efficient. Furthermore, the construction of a vocational school measuring furniture in Kendal Central Java will support the productivity of this industry, although it can only be felt in the next few years. Abdul Sabur believed the human resources that produce it will increase competitiveness and productivity. In addition to the IMM Cologne 2018 exhibition, members of Himki will also attend international furniture exhibitions in United States and China. Until 2016, the value of Indonesian furniture exports reached $1.6 billion, and the value of handicraft exports reached $820 million. Himki predicts this year there is an increase of about 6-7% for the export value of furniture and handicrafts. For Himki, the most important is how the national furniture and craft industries increasingly competitive in the international world. Meanwhile, as the industry support, the Ministry of Industry continues to support the development of the furniture industry as an export-oriented labor-intensive sector. According to the Director General of Agro-Industry at the Ministry of Industry, Pangga Susanto, the furniture industry should be a national pride sector because it has the power to compete in the global level. He explained, almost 85% of raw materials such as wood and rattan are supplied from within the country. That was My Indonesia Today.
Here news in brief read by Rahmana. The provincial government of Papua and the Mimika Regency government obtained 10% share of 51% divestment of PT Freeport Indonesia transferred to the Indonesian government. This was marked by the signing of the agreement by Finance Minister Sri Mulyani, Energy and Mineral Resource Minister Ignatius Jonan, Papuan Governor Lucas Enambe, Mimika Regent Altinus Omalen and President Director PT Inalun Budi Gunadi Sadikin at the office of the Ministry of Finance in Jakarta on Friday. Indonesian Navy Chief of Staff Admiral Ade Supandi said in Jakarta on Friday that the formation of a third fleet in the central region is a must to preserve the sovereignty and unity of Unitary State Republic of Indonesia. He also found that the Navy Quarters continues to push for the establishment of the third fleet to be realized because with the area of 3.2 million square kilometers of sea, Indonesia is to be to create two fleets. The government of Indonesia has not been able to confirm the existence of Indonesian citizens with the top official of Islamic State of Iraq and Syria, ISIS Bahru Naim. Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi in sidelines of her visit at Pondok Pesantren Al Muhayyad in Surakarta Central Java on Friday said that Indonesia has not been able to confirm whether or not the news of Bahru Naim's death had been preached by the mass media. The government of Indonesia under the leadership of President Joko Widodo has a long-term orientation on economic development through infrastructure development that takes a long time. Towards the implementation of election in conjunction in 2018, it is expected that the infrastructure development can be completed so that domestic conditions can be more stable. International Relations Observer University of Indonesia Baginda Bagpahan hoped in Jakarta on Friday that Indonesia can balance foreign policy measures amid the challenges of international uncertainty that are currently engulfing the world. And International Relations Observer University of Indonesia Baginda Bagpahan in Jakarta on Friday encouraged ASEAN member states to maintain centrality in facing challenges within the region. After celebrating its 50th year anniversary. According to him, ASEAN is still facing challenges, namely the current peninsula issue and South China Sea dispute, including global terrorism in Southeast Asia. To control the price of rice, Minister of Trade has conducted market operation in some regions prone to price hikes since November 2017. Minister of Trade Egartia Stuluhita said that the price hike is caused with the scarcity of maidun rice that also led to price hike. That's News in Brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Broadcasting daily from Jakarta on frequency of 95.5 kHz, you can also listen to audio streaming www.voi.co.id. Listener, here is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, fine arts, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will invite you to Aceh to know more about one of Acehese cultures. Stay tuned. Listeners, Aceh, which has a nickname Veranda of Mecca, has its own uniqueness in traditions which cannot be found in other regions. According to the history, Persijic tradition is one of cultural heritage of Hindu. The existence of Hindu culture in Aceh was caused with relations between Aceh and India in the past, so indirectly, Hindu culture began to influence Acehese culture. But since Islam entered to Aceh, the tradition's implementation certainly has used Islamic elements such as salawat and praise, which have been determined in Islamic teachings. Salawat is a special Arabic phrase which contains the salutation upon the Prophet of Islam. The word of Persijuik is taken from the word of Sijue in Acehese language meaning cool, so Persijuik can be meant too cool. In Acehese culture, Persijuik tradition is to ask for safety, quietness, and happiness in life. Persijuik is divided into some types, such as Persijuik Mulanga, or at the time of the dispute, Persijuik Pade Bije, or beginning to plant rice, Persijuik Tempat Tinggal, or to occupy a new house, Persijuik Budoh Rumo, or to build a house, Persijuik Kauru Bewun, or when doing slaughter, Persijuik Vigil, and Persijuik Pilgrimage. Listener, the implementation of Persijuik ritual is usually held by religious or traditional senior figures. It is a must because Persijuik tradition is a sacred ritual, so that to hold it must a person who understands most about praise and procession in the ritual. Moreover, the person who is Persijuik is man, usually will be held by Tengku or Ustad. If the Persijuik is woman, so the procession will be held by Umi or eldest women. In implementing Persijuik tradition, there are three important things, namely tools and also Persijuik materials, movement and prey. The equipment and tool which are used in Persijuik ceremony are henna leaves, which have a meaning, rice seed, which is planted to be strong and resistant to any pest problems. The salt has a meaning, rice seed, which is sown to have character like salt. namely to be able to destroy disease on rice so that the rice can exist to survive, and every Pacific material has philosophy and special meaning in it. The movement in Pacific procession is one of very important things because it cannot be wrong to do the ritual. The movement is usually held from left to the right and sometimes by way of cross. Prayer is the most important element because the core of Pacific ceremony is to ask for the God to give safety, happiness, and welfare for them who hold Pacific. Listener, Pacific tradition is still preserved and held until now. Asianese people believe that tradition is the result of local culture, where culture and religion should run in harmony. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today, featuring Pacific tradition from Aceh province. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa. Thank you for still being with us in Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. If you have any suggestion or criticism, please drop us a line to Voice of Indonesia or to our email address english@voi.co.id or to voi.english@gmail.com. Listener, now let's listen to Miscellany.
Miscellany. Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Welcome to regular program Miscellany over RRIWO Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we will invite you to know about waste mushroom compost. Jamur merang, or straw mushroom, is one of the food mushroom species which is widely grown in East Asia and Southeast Asia. With tropical or subtropical climate, the mushroom has a delicious taste, so it is used for various dishes, especially in Indonesia, such as pepes jamur or mushroom steamed with banana leaves, soup, and capcay. Mushroom has quite high protein. In 100 grams of fresh mushroom, it contains about 3.2 grams of protein. It will increase to 16 grams in dried mushroom. In addition, the mushroom also has 51 milligrams of calcium, 223 milligrams phosphorus, and 105 calories with low fat content of 0.9 grams. One of the media to grow the mushroom is the straw of rice remaining of the harvest. Agricultural land in Pantura, Indramayu Regency, West Java, is suitable to develop various types of lowland vegetables. In addition to fertile soil, the organic fertilizer is also abundant, since the region can produce its own fertilizer. In the hands of local farmers, waste mushroom is used as organic fertilizer for plants. Straw waste mushroom is processed into mushroom compost. The mushroom compost is made from agricultural material such as hay, straw, and poultry litter. After the mushroom is harvested, the mushroom compost is steam treated prior to removal to eliminate any pests, pathogens, and weed seeds, resulting in a fertilizer product. The mushroom compost has high water and nutrient holding capacity. As a fertilizer and soil addition for farming, the mushroom compost supports plant growth in a variety of plant applications. price of the mushroom compost is quite affordable for farmers, and it is certainly environmentally friendly. Therefore, it is very helpful to local farmers to meet the need for fertilizer. By using mushroom compost, the farmers harvest become more qualified with satisfactory quantity. Listener, that was regular program miscellany for today with the topic waste mushroom compost. We will meet again with another interesting topic. See you and sampai jumpa.
Meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the voice of Indonesia.
Hey, listener of Radio World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back with me, Andika, in Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, we will introduce you to Afghan. To initiate our segment Music Corner for today, let's listen to a song entitled Terima Kasih Cinta. Enjoy the song.
Setelah jauh melangkah, cahaya kasihmu menuntunku kembali dalam dekap tanganmu. Terima kasih cinta untuk segalanya. Kesempatan itu takkan terulang lagi. Semua kesalahanku yang pernah menyakitimu.
Listener, you have just listened to the first song entitled Terima Kasih Cinta, sung by Afghan. The song was the first song of the singer who was born in Jakarta May 27, 1989. Afghan Shahreza, or well-known Afghan, since childhood has been familiar with music. Afghan's family loved music. Afghan began his career when he was only 5. At that time, Afghan and his friends recorded at musical studio for his collection. But the recording product was monitored by the studio's owner. Then Afghan was offered to play music. The offering brought Afghan to be successful until now. Listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Knock Me Out. Happy listening!
I wanna love you, girl. Temukan sebuah cinta yang ku nantikan. Ternyata engkau yang selalu ku tunggu. Hiasi hatiku, baby you knock me out. Betapa indah sanubarimu. Untuk diriku, kau mengubah hidupku. Kembalikan rinduku. This be that real love I've been missing before I met you.
Listener, you are still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in the segment Music Corner, which is discussing about Afghan. Until now, Afghan has released 4 albums, 1 mini album, and dozens of single ones. Almost all songs become hit at radios and television chart. Not only that, Afghan also received various awards on his skill in singing. Although he is only a soloist, Afghan often collaborates with other Indonesian musicians. The new collaboration of Afghan is entitled X, which was released in 2017. This time, Afghan collaborates with a musician from Malaysia named Sonawan. Listener, to conclude our segment Music Corner for today, let's listen to the following two songs entitled X and Kunci Hati. Happy listening and see you.
I would've stayed with you. Plan a life together. Find a place to run away with you. Don't get me wrong, girl, I'm happy for you. But if I had it my way, I'd be the man to hold you. And I would run up to your boy and tell the lucky bomber clock to never let you go. But it's better if he never knows I'm such an idiot. I admit I might have made the wrong decision. You would feel the same if he was in my position. Things I could have changed and I should have changed them with you. Nothing but the best is what I wish you.
I wish I could turn back time. I don't want to say goodbye. I wish I could turn back time. Say goodbye. I don't ever wanna say goodbye.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Kata yang mampu
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Betapa ku mencinta selalu menjadikanmu isi dalam doaku. Ku tahu tak mudah menjadi yang kau minta. Ku pasrahkan hatiku, takdirkan menjawabnya. Jika aku bukan jalanmu, ku berhenti.
Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Stay tuned on 9525 kHz. You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th Floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta. PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.